down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Summer may now be gone, but that's not to say that there's no way to get a bit of life and colour into our lives. And what better way to do that than pop into your local florist? So for this week's industry review, I want to find out a little bit more about the sector and how it all works. I'm delighted to introduce you to three very different guests. Firstly, we have Fionnuala McCauley, who's the chairperson of the newly formed Institute of Flowers, a florist herself, worked in Sandymount for many years. Also joining us is JP Tanner, owner of Arbor Blooms in Skerries and Swords. You're very welcome, JP. And joining us as well is Louise Jordan of Forest Green and Celine's Flowers. So you're all very welcome to the programme. JP, we might start with you. Maybe tell us a little bit about your business and how it all works, if you would.
Bobby, thanks for having me. We are a business 25 years old. We have some 18 people working for us. We're a florist primarily based in the north side of Dublin, but we cover the whole of Ireland through our drop ship. We've also formed a separate company, which is called Tanner's Foliage. We grow our own eucalyptus to go into all our own bouquets. So nationwide delivery.
And the eucalyptus, that was a business that was drawn up in parallel, but it's become a huge part of your business. So when you sell foliage, you actually sell foliage to other florists.
Correct, Bobby. So we formed this company based on, we had a massive need for foliage within our business, but we also wanted to cut down, we wanted to be more sustainable in our own business. So cut down on the meant transport, meant of, you know, we're bringing greenery in from South America. So we wanted to grow our own here in Ireland and our climate lends it to it. So we buy a lot of flowers in from Holland, but we also export our greenery back to Holland and then to also other businesses within Ireland, including like Dunn Stores. We're trying to, a lot of the other local florists within Ireland we sell to as well.
And that seems to me to be an obvious economical benefit. If you're buying in something from Holland and the truck can go back with products that you've cultivated yourself.
Correct, Bobby.
It's a good business model.
So part of my agreement was the supplier that we were buying a lot of flowers off. I said, okay, I'm buying a lot of flowers off. You can buy my eucalyptus back. Yeah. So we struck a deal and it's worked out very well.
Well done. Fionnuala McCauley, you're chairperson of the Institute of Flowers, but you're also a florist and, again, somebody who's worked in the business for a long number of years. Tell us a little bit about you and, indeed, this new institute.
So I've worked in the industry for nearly 20 years now. I absolutely adore this industry. I love flowers. For me, flowers are never just about me going in to pick a bunch of flowers in a shop. It's about the person that's getting the bunch of flowers. And there's a lot of value in the local florist, and I want to see that continue. So that's why the Institute of Flowers has come about. I meet with a lot of flowers through my day job now all the time. I'd be in and out of them, and they have similar issues across the country. Yeah. And we'd like to try and help them tackle them.
So. And your work, your day job, as you call it, is with Van der Pla. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
So Van der Plas are one of the biggest exporters out of Holland. They export flowers to a lot of Europe, Germany, Italy.
This is a huge
Ireland.
Company.
It's a massive company, yeah. So I work for them on the ground in Ireland.
Okay. And let's talk to our third guest, who's Louise Jordan of Forest Green and Celine's Flowers. Louise, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. So we have two flower shops. So we've Celine's Flowers in Talla and we've Forest Green in Dunleary. Forest Green actually was originally an online business kind of that was very geared towards events and weddings and kind of the corporate industry.
Yeah.
But we've actually opened up a retail shop probably 6 months ago now, and it's doing great. It's a great little hub there in Dunleary.
I know it well.
Do you?
Yes, okay. I do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know all the shops in Dunleary downfall.
We're thrilled to have the shop there. And, you know, there's a great network there. Great. All the businesses work together and support each other, you know, which is lovely to see. You know, we're definitely made to feel very welcome.
Yeah. And Louise, can I ask you about your own, I suppose, transition into the floral business? Because you were originally in PR and events. And am I right in saying that it was working there that you probably engaged with a lot of florists and that type of and hampers and stuff over the years, that during COVID you decided on a career change?
I did an absolute complete career change. Yeah. Yeah. So I worked, my background is actually tourism, and I worked in tourism for years. I did all the domestic tourist boards in Ireland, you know, and I did a lot of corporate clients as well. And obviously during COVID, people couldn't travel, tourism stopped. So all my clients stopped. And I had a lot of corporate clients coming to me saying, you know, how do we can't have events, we can't meet up with people. How do we stay in contact with our customers? So I went about, look at, you know, and I thought, God, the offering is really, really poor, you know, for corporate gifting, for all that end of things. So then I started to go about setting up a hamper company. And then I came across a flower shop for sale, which I thought would be a lovely addition.
Did you buy the flower shop? You did?
I did. I bought the flower shop in Talla Village, and we haven't looked back. I mean, I did keep my PR company for a while, and then I had no idea how big this would become, and how big the industry was, and how much there was to learn. And it's just become an absolute whirlwind. And we've developed an events and a wedding business. So it's been nonstop, and it's just running legs all the time. And we love it.
And your experience in PR and events, has that almost resulted in that being a large part of your business?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, I couldn't believe the void in the market for providing, you know, really kind of high-end florals for events. And I suppose what I would is, you know, the vision of someone comes to you and says, okay, we're hosting events for this client, but they don't really know anything about flowers. They don't know what to choose. They can't envisage it all coming together.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's where my background comes in. I'd look at the decor, look at the room, look at the branding, and kind of pick all the florals to suit that, create mood boards, all that type of thing.
Okay.
So that's definitely been really beneficial. And then obviously the whole e-commerce side as well, and my background in that, which is so vital.
I'm going to talk about e-commerce now in a second. But before I do, anybody who's got a text out there, they want to know anything about flowers, what to do, what not to do. We've got three experts here in the studio. I'll try and get through a few texts if you'd like to send them in here. Back to you, JP. We talked about e-commerce there. Am I right in saying that one in three sales now is only bricks and mortar, that two-thirds of this business, and maybe this is a crude figure, but by and large, that two out of every three bunches of flowers sold are online versus over the counter?
Well, I don't know the exact statistics, but I know a huge proportion of our sales are online. But the bricks and mortar is also such a huge part of our business as well. We're revamping our stores to make the customer more part of our business, so the customer can see the work that goes on behind the scenes. But you're right, Bobby, people that buy online, we're selling them a service. You know, 99% of people that buy on our websites for flowers, they're buying for a specific occasion. So they're buying our service. They're not buying our actual product.
And it's interesting because somebody buying your product may not ever even see your product.
Correct.
Because you're buying something for somebody else.
Absolutely. They're buying a service. So if it's your wife's birthday or anniversary, you want to buy the service. So you want to make sure that those flowers are delivered on your wife's birthday. It's too late the day before or too early the day before or the day after. So it's specific base, or even, you know, particularly for your anniversary or if you're in trouble. So yes, it's, you're buying a service to get it. And if it's for a funeral, it's time specific. So we really try to go over and above what we really need to do to provide that service to get it there on time, to make sure that it's presented nicely and it's delivered by a professional driver in one of our branded vans delivered to the house.
And it's interesting you say that, because I remember my days, and Louise will understand this, when I worked with Bewley's Hampers. If you screwed up on an order, it's almost the worst thing you can do, because it's somebody's Christmas, somebody's wedding. So it's a huge deal if you get it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. It's massive. And we're one of the only people in this industry, the service-based industry, that deliver stuff that we guarantee a specific date. So the people need to realise that as well. We go over and above to try and deliver it on that day. And all that costs money, Bobby. So That's why there's a delivery charge. Sometimes people don't realise that, but we do have to charge a small fee for that, but you get it there on time.
All right.
And on the specific date you require.
Back to you, Fionnuala. Bord Bia estimate or tell us that this market is 93 odd million. It's a very valuable sector.
It's an extremely valuable sector. And just to elaborate on what Johnny is saying there, I think we sell more than a service. We sell an emotion. Like when somebody comes to buy a bunch of flowers off one of these local florists, it's to make the recipient feel good about themselves. Like, we are really selling emotion.
So it has to be
and
right.
It has to be right, and it has to be on time, like Johnny says. Like, there's a huge amount of things that go into a little flower shop in your corner village, be it in Dublin.
And how important is creativity then, in terms of, like, if I order something for my wife on her birthday, I kind of maybe don't know what's going to arrive. But I say, this is how much I want to spend, and make sure it's nice. And
so, like, putting flowers together is, of course, creative. It's you're choosing colours, you're choosing flowers that work together. There's a huge element of creativity in it, like, and there are skills that we need to continue to develop and upskill the florists that we have in the country to excel in their skill.
Yeah. And has the florist retracted or retreated in any way from the high street, in terms of, are there people operating now solely online?
Almost definitely, and we're losing that connection again. Like Johnny said, he's making his shops interactive. That's because of the buyer that's coming along. They want the experience of the flowers. So now we're not just talking about a bouquet. They want to see the bouquet being made. They want to experience it. Maybe they want to make it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole other element in there now.
And am I right in saying, Fionnuala, that of the 93 million, there's a huge amount, and I know Johnny sends his foliage off to Holland and that, but a lot of these flowers are imported basically because we don't have the climate to grow them.
Yeah, we can certainly support Irish grown product like Johnny's product, and there's certainly a place for that in the industry. But we cannot ever sustain ourselves with the demand of flowers that the customer wants in terms of choice and certainly our climate. Never going to be able to.
Louise, in terms of the online piece and the e-commerce element of your business, can you tell me how that works?
Yeah, I mean, we'd still, you know, online is obviously very, very strong, but you still definitely have people who want to come in and visit you in the shop. I mean, the footfall in our Tala shop would be absolutely huge. And you've customers who come in week after week, nearly just for a chat and to see what's new, what's different. And they're so particular about the flowers they choose, what they want in their bouquets. And especially when it comes to bereavements, you know, like, you'd have someone on the phone and say, you know, we just want to pop down. They want to tell you about whether it's their mother, their father, or whatever, their favourite flower, to make sure that's in the arrangement. And that's so important. I mean, if you get that wrong, you really are celebrating people's most important occasions in their lives, you know? From weddings to bereavements to, you know, and you get very involved in that process as well.
All right. I've a whole lot of text here, which I hope somebody might help me with. Maybe we'll start with you, Fionnuala. What about, how do I keep roses from dying in my garden? Always happens. That comes from Jenny. There you go. You get to somebody selling flowers and somebody asks you a gardening question. What's that about?
I'm not too okay.
You water them.
Yeah, and give them a bit of sunshine. It's probably the lack of sunshine.
Reflowers for wedding. What's the best way of keeping costs down?
To use seasonal flowers, you know, and talk to your florist. Like, you know, you have to be a little, when choosing your flowers for your wedding,
you have to be open to
having a discussion with your florist. They're the best person to tell you what's available for the best price.
You know? Here's one for you, Louise. I hate big bunches of flowers. Having had many long periods in hospital and confined at home, I loathe it getting big flowers. Place looked like a funeral parlour. I now look at small pieces, small places who sell garden posies. So have you seen any trends around that where people are looking for smaller arrangements?
It definitely, and it's really, really interesting to see the different trends in different areas. In Dunleary, for instance, our biggest sellers are, they love, you know, small bunches with different unusual flowers in them, you know. So it's every season.
We're very posh in Dunleary, surely you know
you
that.
You are. But plants, little plants are definitely our biggest seller there, as well as just small wraps beautifully presented outside the shop. I mean, you could sell those all day long. Yeah. They're not looking for big bunches of flowers. You know, they want nice small bunches that can sit in their windows, that they can have around the house in small little vases. But it definitely, I mean, that's huge. Yeah. And even in terms of online sales, actually one of our biggest sellers is Blooms in a Bottle, which is just small vases, kind of votives with different seasonal flowers in them. And they fly out, you know, they're a huge seller.
Johnny, you've got some ancillary products. You brought in a lovely eucalyptus candle here. Are those ancillary flower-related products important?
So, Bobby, we had a byproduct from our eucalyptus, so we stripped the bottom third of the stem so the stem can sit into water. So the reason we do that is because the leaf's not in water, so there's no build-up of bacteria. So we then had a byproduct, the eucalyptus leaf, so we formed eucalyptus oil. So we distill, put the leaves through a distiller, dry steam through it, and then we got a local company then to make our very own eucalyptus and geranium candles. So now they're for sale in our stores. So it's a byproduct in which from our eucalyptus, but we brand it under the Arbor Blooms brand and we sell it in stores and online.
That sounds really good. Back to you, Fionnuala, in terms of somebody wanting to maybe get into the floral business part-time or somebody with an interest in the area. You guys offer courses, is that right? Or
So
what would you advise?
So what we're trying to do is bring a community of florists together, and within that we will try and bring you designers that will be able to upskill the level.
So these are people who'd already be trained?
Yeah, exactly.
And what's the training typically,
so
of
we
somebody
have,
who's a florist?
At the moment, we have a few routes in Ireland that aren't. So we have one course that's very low level. It's run by the QQI. It's low level, and there's a real disconnect there between. So there's this year in one of those courses there was 120 people applied for it, and only 40. There was only 40 places given.
Right. And I assume that it's a huge part of the trade is building up your experience.
Exactly.
On site. In a real working environment.
Yeah. So we would like, as the voice of the industry, we would like to see a commitment to education in some regard to really allow for these skills to be developed within the country. And then they can go into shops like Johnny's and Louise's, you know, and work. But the routes to education are very all over the place, and there's no real channel for people that want to get into the industry in
Ireland. Okay, well, that's a shame, and hopefully you'll be doing something about that. So watch this space. Thank you to all three of people, my guests, from the floral community, let's call it, because you're all businesses that are slightly different, but Fionnuala McCauley, chairperson of the Institute of Flowers. Thank you for joining us. Johnny or JP, you're always welcome. And from Arbor Blooms out there in Skerries and Swords. And indeed, Louise Jordan from Forest Green and Celine's Flowers in Dunleary and Talla. Thank you for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.